people have tried that.
Met with limited success.
Okay. At times like this, when we gather to celebrate, to appreciate the nisim that Hashem has done to the Jewish people in Israel over the last 57 years, I think many of us are pulled in different directions. On the one hand, we can't help but be filled with joy and appreciation at the actual nisim, practically nisim gluyim. Speaking of nisim gluyim, that were performed beginning 57 years ago, to think about the fact that in 1948, in the Milchemet Ha'atzma'ut, five Arab states, which had among their armies 1 million soldiers among them, with tanks, with aircraft, with cannons, with everything that was modern weaponry, 57 years ago, invaded a tiny sliver of a Jewish state with only 650,000 Jews living there. It's less than the number of soldiers in the five Arab countries. With an army of 75,000 men, with no cannons, no tanks, 9 airplanes from the 1930s. And what were those 75,000 men? Rav Amital, my Rosh Yeshiva, tells that he, when he joined the army then, he was made an officer. And he asked, why was he being made an officer? He said, because you have experience, you've shot a gun before. So you're an officer. That kind of army, what are the odds? What are the odds that one Jew could have survived? What are the odds that they could have prevailed? Certainly, what are the odds they could have won and doubled the size of the Jewish state from what was assigned to them from the UN partition plan? It's hard to imagine that happening, the Derech HaTeva. Even Ben-Gurion said at the time, a Jew who doesn't believe in miracles is not a realist. Because realistic means that Jews live by Chasdei Hashem. You can't help but say, as we did tonight, Hodu Hashem Ki Tov, Ki Lolam Chasdo. So why are so many ambivalent? So many from all different political and religious sides of the spectrum, ambivalent about what they should be feeling today. Because we say, on the one hand, we have a Jewish state for the first time in almost 1900 years. Hashem has saved us time and time, war and war, time and time again, from our enemies. You say, in Hallel, every time I say in Hallel, Kol goyim svavuni, b'shem Hashem ki amilam, sabuni gam svavuni, sabuni chidvorim, duachu ke'esh kotzim, kol goyim svavuni. How can you not think of the literal kol goyim svavuni? Of the hundreds of thousands of Arab soldiers marching on Tel Aviv and Yerushalayim, and B'Shem Hashem Ki Amilam, there being no other explanation for how we managed to emerge victorious. But on the other hand, we say, is this the Tzmichas Gulasenu? We have the State of Israel, but from a religious perspective, it's Sach HaKol a secular state. It's not based on the Torah. It's not based on Avodas Hashem. The Knesset, the Rov Minyan of Binyan of the Knesset, is made up of non-religious, maybe even anti-religious representatives. There's Chalal Shabbos. There's other problems. On the political stance, we're the political front. We're right now in the midst of a very difficult period. The hit not cut. Even if you're pro the hit not cut, what does it mean about Zionism? That now the best move they can do is to relinquish Jewish control over parts of Eretz Yisrael. Certainly, most of those gathered here, who understand the dangers and the fallacies may be involved in the Hitna Kut. What does it mean to have a Jewish state if the government can't even stand up for the idea that Jews stand up for themselves, that Jews are attached to Eretz Yisrael, if we can relinquish and say that we're no longer linked to that part of Eretz Yisrael? What does it mean if the borders are shrinking instead of growing? What does that mean if all the Jews live here in Eretz Yisrael and there's strife between the religious and the anti-religious, and we don't have the achdus we need to have? One is tempted to question, can we really say, Halu Avdei Hashem v'lo Avdei Achashveros? You know, are we really, it's hard to call this Avdei Hashem, are we really where we want to be? We have so many problems that there are those who've said since 1948, let's not celebrate anything. Let's not mark our appreciation. There are those who said this year, let's start being mevatel our annual or preferable daily, hourly hakaras hatov to Hashem for the Medina He's given us. And what's our response? Before Maariv, we ended with the pasuk, Ish chacham yishmar eila, mi chacham v'yishmar eila is bonenu chastei Hashem. Chastei Hashem, it's not enough to just notice the chastei Hashem, to see the chastei, it's not yireh chastei Hashem. Yisbonenu requires certain bina, certain understanding. What kind of hisbonenus, what kind of bina do we need, what kind of insight and understanding do we need to add to flesh out this picture and solve our dilemma? Suggest, go back to the Chumash. The blueprint of Jewish history begins in Hazinu. Binu shenos dor vador. Look at the historical perspective. Look at the changes over the generation. Take a long-term view of things. And I think that many of us, while we may be tempted to look at things from the here and now, it's very easy to have a narrow vision, look right now at what could be, what is, compare them, find reality lacking. If we look at it from a broader historical perspective, the picture looks very, very different. If we think about the fact, on the political spectrum, Hitnat Kut, worst case scenario assumed, parts of Eretz Yisrael are relinquished to those who are unquestionably our enemies. We do not have complete control over Eretz Yisrael. We're a lot worse off than we were 1 year ago. But Binu Shenos Dor Vador, what are we coming from? In 1947, the United Nations partition plan split up Eretz Yisrael between the Jews and the Arabs. We didn't get inside the green line and they over the green line. We got a little sliver along the coast of Tel Aviv, no Yerushalayim, nowhere near Yerushalayim, not Beit Shemesh, not the Galil. Tel Aviv, a few cities up there to Haifa, Tveria, and that was it. Probably around a quarter of what we now consider to be Eretz Yisrael. And the Jews danced in the street the night of that partition plan. When they got a quarter of what we have now in Eretz Yisrael, and what we would have even if we lost some, they danced in the streets. Why? Binu Shenos Dor Vador, where were they coming from? In the early days of the state, when they founded the state, Hitler had just finished his work in Europe. And he was not fully successful. There were hundreds of thousands of Jews in the displaced person camp in Germany who had escaped the concentration camps, who had survived the Shoah, and who were living in refugee camps in Europe. They had no place to go. In one shtetl, the Jews, the Polish Jews, survived Hitler's concentration camps and went back to their shtetl after the whole war was over, after the victory. And when they got from the shtetl, the Polish said, are you coming back here? I thought we got rid of you. And there was a pogrom. There was a pogrom in 1946 after World War II ended, because the Jews had the chutzpah to go back to Poland, and some of them were still alive. Eretz Yisrael was the only country in the world, as we know, the Umos HaOlam, in Evian. Hitler said, I'm going to kill all the Jews. And they said, well, Hitler said, oh, but if they leave Germany, if they can emigrate someplace else, then that's fine with me. And every country in the world said, well, maybe they can make it into another country, but we have no room for them. After World War II, They sat there in camps. No one had any room for them. They had no place to go. And now, they dance in the streets. Because there's an Eretz Yisrael, there's some place where Jews can go where they don't have to worry about pogroms. Where they don't have to worry about being displaced persons. Being a nation wandering the world without a home. And a kosher for any amount of Eretz Yisrael, they dance in the streets. In 1948, when we conquered half of Yerushalayim, we expanded Eretz Yisrael to defensible borders, they danced in the streets once again. And in 1967, there was more rejoicing. However much we may be backtracking, however much trouble we're in, what is our situation compared to 1947, compared to 1948, compared to 1946, without even going earlier than that? How can you not say, V'yisbon nuchaste Hashem, if this is what we have, and this is where we're coming from? The Rav relates how during World War II, he used to take the train from Boston to New York. And the missionaries were very active there, and they would sit next to him, and they would say, Rabbi, you know, we really feel for your people and their suffering in Europe. But you know, it's because you killed our Lord. Now, that's what happens. You know, it says explicitly in the New Testament that Jews are punished for their crime for rejecting Yashka. The Rav had nothing to answer them. What do you answer when someone says, how true can your religion be if you're getting killed in the crematoria and your enemies are victorious? Whose side is God really on? The Rav said he had no answer. Once they founded the State of Israel, the missionaries never even came with their questions. There was no longer an answer. Once they founded the State of Israel, all of a sudden the Catholic Church itself had no choice but to say, well, we recognize Jews are really our older brothers. We recognize that. They're not guilty of what we've been accusing them of for 2,000 years. We ask their mechila, because the Nes Nigle, it's shown to the Ummah Sa'ola, that Yesh Elokim B'Yisrael, that the Jews have Ashgachas Hashem on them. And even if we suffer some setbacks, even if we only have 95% of what we want, how can be such an ingrate to not be misbonin b'chastei Hashem and to realize what we've achieved? On the religious level, it upsets us so much to see the secularism, see sometimes anti-religious sentiment, lack of achdus in Klal Yisrael, to see the secular government. But yisbonin b'chastei Hashem. Sach hakol, what are we talking about in Eretz Yisrael? There are more people learning in yeshivas and Eretz Yisrael today than in any other place in the world, in any other time in Jewish history, including the time of Tanakh, including the time of Chazal. And including more than in America, more than any other country in the world. If this is the anti-religious state, then halavai, throughout Jewish history, what people would have given to live in an anti-religious state like this, which has more people learning yeshiva than any place else in the entire history of the human race. In the 50s, in the beginning of the state, secular parties were really anti-religious. In those days, they took kids who escaped the Shoah, who came to Israel, and they cut off their payas, sent them to secular kibbutzim, and forced them to eat treif in Mechal Shabbos. They took the kids who olim from Tayman and families and forced them into non-religious settings where they have no choice but to be indoctrinated into secularism. Nowadays, with all our anti-religious people in the State of Israel, is there any havamina? Is anyone ever suggesting that they should take someone and force them to be non-religious? Is anyone preventing anyone from keeping the Torah? If anything, the state of Torah in Israel has improved so much over the last 50 years that with all the failings, with everything that's still incomplete, that's still left to do, how can you not be misbonin in chastei Hashem? In what other country in the world is there a fight between religious and anti-religious over the religious say should be more money to support yeshivas, which is one of the greatest things one can spend money on, and an anti-religious party shinoi? What does it mean to be anti-religious? It means to say you can study in yeshiva if you want, but we're not going to give money for you to study in yeshiva. In every other country in the world throughout Jewish history, what would the Jews have given for the Russians to say, we're not going to give money, but you can learn in yeshiva all you want? Halavai, for 1,000 years they davened there would be in a country where no one would stop them from opening up a sefer and learning, from making a shul and davening. And now, Baruch Hashem, We have a country where the biggest problems we have is that there are those who want to give less funding to yeshivas and those who want to give more funding to yeshivas. If you think about it, you get lost in the narrow space of the issue. It's very easy to be upset. Why are people trying to take money from yeshivas? But if you think about what Hashem has given us, a state where there's such thing as money for yeshivas, a state where there's so many people learning Torah, and there's so much kirov, and there's so much growth in Jewish practice, how can you not be misbonin chaste Hashem and say, Hoda Hashem ki tov, for the greatest gift Hashem has ever given the Jewish people? Think if we take this Binu Shnos Dor Vador, take the long-range perspective, we just think about what our great-grandparents would have given to live in a country where you're not harassed, you're not persecuted for being a Jew, you're not harassed or persecuted for keeping your religion, for learning Torah, for doing mitzvos. They would certainly have said Hallel, metaphorically, every day of the year, if they had even been able to think of the Havamina, of what Hashem has granted us. This is not to say that we've achieved the Geula yet. Certainly, there's a lot that needs to be done. But I can close with one thought. It's very common to ask, in religious circles, what's the significance of Kachov Lavan, of the flag, of the Degel, of the State of Israel? And the Rav had one famous answer to that, which I will not repeat now. But I thought that perhaps the answer can be found in a Chazal. Where did they get the colors of the flag of Israel from, the blue stripes on the white background? Of course, from the tzitzis, sil techeles, blue stripes against the white. And what does techeles mean? Chazal tell us, why do we wear techeles? It was a chartim, it's called mitzvos Hashem. How does techeles remind us of all the mitzvos? Because techeles of the tzitzis is dome el yam, it's blue like the sea. The yam dome el rakia, and the sea is blue like the heavens. For rakia dome el kisei hakavod, and the heavens are blue like Hashem's kisei hakavod. Hashem's majestic throne. I have one question. If Tchelas is blue and the Kisei HaKavod is blue, why can't the Tchelas just be Doma the Kisei HaKavod? Why do we need to go through the Yam and the Rakia? Skip the middle land. The Tchelas is actually Doma to the Kisei HaKavod. Right? The answer was once explained to me that perhaps it's easy to look at something which is one step away from the Kisei HaKavod and see, I see resemblance to the Kisei HaKavod. That's not what Tzitzis is teaching us. Tzitzis is telling us it's not enough to look at things which are one step removed from the Kisei HaKavod. There are yeshivas I can go to and I say, this is one step removed from what it must be like in Gan Eden. I can see the Kedusha. That's not what Hashem's asking of us. That's easy. How about three steps removed? How about the Yam? Lo Me'ivr L'Yam, there's no Torah in the Yam. There's no Yadus in the Iye HaYam. It's not Me'ivr L'Yam. It's Doma L'Yam. And then the Yam is one step, is Doma L'Rakia. Maybe if we go one step, maybe you have to go another step and a third step. Maybe if you're willing to imagine, to be bold and brave enough, to have enough emunah, to have enough faith in Hashem, and to have enough faith, as the Rav talks about, as the Rav Kook talks about, have enough faith in Klal Yisrael wherever they may be, to imagine a few steps to take the liberty of dreaming, then you can see the resemblance to the Kisei HaKavod. Is our Medina Yisrael one step removed from that Gan Eden of the Kisei HaKavod of the Geula? Is it one step removed from Yom HaMashiach? No. It is many steps removed from Yom HaMashiach. But I'm willing to dream. I'm willing to look for the Yam. I'm willing to look for the Rakia. I'm willing to say we have a Jewish state. A Jewish state is one step removed from a great Jewish pride. A great Jewish pride is one step removed from our roots, which are in the Torah. And Jews keeping the Torah is one step removed from the Geula of the Yom HaMashiach. I recognize it's not one small step. I recognize it could take a while. But I'm willing to look for those steps, the dome, the dome, the dome, the dome, the dome, the dome, and see the possibility of Kisei HaKavod. I'm willing to look at the Jews going through the army, wandering off in India, in Thailand, in search of some guru. And while I could say that's one step removed from Avodah Zarah, I can also say, well, going off to look for a guru someplace is one step removed from rejection of materialism, the emptiness they might have been brought up with. Which is one step removed from looking for something that's more authentic to who they are. Which is one step removed from the tshuva. Which is one step removed from geula. When I see, I'm willing to dream. I'm willing to say, Shinoi, with all their anti-religious sentiment, with all their complaints, etc. What would Rav Kook have said? Taka, there are things about the religious world that need to be improved that maybe are turning them off. They're one step removed from pointing out some muster of where the religious world has room for to improve, which is one step removed from improving and drawing them close, which is one step removed from all of Klal Yisrael joining the Shechem Echad Bavodaso. I'm going to dream that I can see Shinoi sitting down, maybe in a different context of the first step, maybe to learn a little about Judaism, maybe to bring the Am a little together. I'm going to dream of a picture of a Shinoi executive sitting down with the chief rabbi of Israel to discuss how to bring Jews closer to their Torah. And between afternoon Seder and this Suda, I was looking at a website, and they have Tmunat Akrai, random picture of the day. And it was a picture of the Yoshev Rosh Siat Shinoi v'Tel Aviv, the head of the Tel Aviv, not the Yerushalayim, not the Yabayifigan, the head of the Tel Aviv chapter of Shinoi, sitting next to Rav Lau, the Rav HaRashi, at the Tekes for the opening of Rosh Yehudi, a Kirov center in the middle of Tel Aviv. I can see that. I don't have to dream anymore. The picture's there. And that picture is Dome to the picture of him with the yarmulke sitting there, which the Dome to the picture of his friend sitting there, which is Dome to the picture of what we all want to be seen. I look at the turret we have here, and you can see a lot of danger. You can see the threats from our enemies, the threats from within, the threats of a Palestinian state in Gaza and the Shomron. Now I'm willing to see the Dome la Dome. I'm willing to see that the threat of a state is Dome to Jews coming together, which is Dome to being mechazik one another, which is Dome to putting their faith in Hashem and being victorious. I'm willing to see that it's Dome to maybe that Palestinian state crashing and burning. Maybe it needs the opportunity to fail so that we can get a fresh start and found our state on a more secure footing. I'm not saying we're there yet. We have far to go. But if you'll join me in the Binu Shnos Dor Vador, to look back in the historical perspective and imagine what our great-grandparents would have given to see this day with all its flaws, and to see the Dome la Dome and follow the Tchelas of the flag to the Tchelas of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash and the Geula of Meherev Yameinu. Amen.